Hey, you got the morning show with Aaron, and in the studio, I've got Elizabeth Dennis. Good morning.
Good morning.
But most people don't call you Elizabeth Dennis. They don't see you in town and go, hello, Elizabeth Dennis, do they?
No, it's probably Ellie would be a good nickname.
Yeah.
Or Elizabeth. Elizabeth Dennis is quite long.
Yeah, mostly I hear people calling you Ellie, which initially confused me because, well, I'm easily confused. But anyway, we're here to talk about... The first thing is, how do we pronounce this word? Laboratory?
Yeah, I can't even do it myself sometimes when I'm on the homepage. I'm like, how do I say this? Laboratory. And especially, I'm French as well, so it sounds even more terrible. But yeah, something along those
lines. I think laboratory. Laboratory, I was going for, because the emphasis is on art.
On the art, yes.
Yes. And what is laboratory?
So it is an online website for now, but it is a collective of, we're about, I believe, six, a few artists in Raglan.
Between six and eight.
Yeah, between six and eight artists in Raglan who came together and who are wanting to offer, art classes for adults and for kids. Laboratory is like an umbrella of us, and we're wanting to offer more specific workshop that maybe haven't been done before. I'm still young, but we're trying to offer more specific classes that differs from what's already offered in Raglan. And and the name came, we were like brainstorming about the name, and we thought laboratory is you know, a place of experiment, and this is where this is our approach to be experimental with materials, and yes, sure, we do have structure and guidelines, but we're also open to crossing those lines, whatever that means, you know, just exploring instead of focusing on like a specific result, I suppose.
So you've written there, multidisciplinary Raglan Art School experimental approach. So that's what you need to know, folks.
Yeah, exactly. So I guess the multidisciplinary aspect is because we all have different offerings.
Should we say who is there? You are an artist in what field?
Yes. I focus for now on community art for kids. This is the only 10 weeks program that I'm offering for the 5 to 12 years old, and that starts on terms 4.
But as an artist, what do you do?
I would say I'm an interdisciplinary artist who works with photography and interactive art. I'm a filmmaker and a potter, and I work with leather and
multidisciplinary. Yes. I just want to go through who's there so people can get a feel for that first, and then we'll come back to your specific one in a minute.
Yeah. So there is Diana Wells, she's done a lot of exhibition. She does. She's offering printmaking, but she does also like drawings and paintings and much more, I am sure. And then Stuart Shepherd, who's offering live drawing, and he's also offering visual storytelling. So I don't want to speak for them because they are in a better position to explain what their courses are all about, but I'm just naming what's on the website.
What's his background?
Again, I think he should be talking for himself, but I know that he's done a lot of sculpture type of work, drawing, and he studied and lived in New York actually for quite a long time.
Does he have a strong academic background?
Yes, I believe so.
That's vaguely weird. Yep.
And then there's Martin Tenbrook, and he's doing a hammer forge workshop on one-on-one, and also artist talks.
Yeah.
And he's also got a background in fine art, and
when you say artist talk, is like that, how to talk about your art? Is that what that means?
Practical talk, again, I think that he should be explaining his own course, but it's all explained on the website. I believe that his talks are about are more about his own understanding of his own practice. So you're going there to soak on his knowledge on different aspects of his work.
Well, we should get him in to talk, and the others too, at various stages, perhaps.
Yeah, I think that's really interesting because everyone has a different approach with their own work. So Martin's offering that. And he's also offering a charcoal making workshop and make your own paint with pigments that you can find outside. He also knows how to make brushes with human hair and horse hair. He's also into all sorts of different mediums.
Yeah.
And again, Diana Well. And then Arshad Mirzabeg, I hope I'm pronouncing his name well. I've only met him once, but he's like an amazing animation guy and a really good, he does really good drawings as well. So this class is on animation. Yeah. So it's really hands-on drawing your character. And then he also has the skills to make them move on a computer if someone wanted to go there.
Okay. And is that an example of his work I'm looking at there?
Yes.
Cool.
Yeah,
cool.
That's an example.
I know no one else can see this, but I'm just looking at it. It looks good.
And he's got a YouTube channel. If anyone wants to see him talk, he's just like an encyclopedia. He's amazing.
Yeah.
And again, yeah, Stuart and Martin. And yeah, and there will be more courses that will be offered. I initially had three, but my plate is quite full with other projects right now, so I've decided to go down to just one class.
So what we've just looked at there, these are courses running from October?
Yes, during term four, so starting in October.
Yeah. And so this is like a plan for like a long-term art school.
Yeah.
In the, not in the bricks and mortar style, but in the sense that you've got the people to teach.
Yes.
Yeah. And we were talking off the air, like, this feels like it's a bit more than, like, some people refer to the after-school classes for the kids, and I know this is for adults as well, but the after-school classes for the kids, a bit of a babysitting service sometimes.
Mm.
But you're wanting to do more than that with the kids, eh?
Yeah, so I want to take kids seriously, I suppose. I don't want to just kind of look at what they can do with a very small task. I want to bring them further and ask them kind of critical thinking questions, you know. So the course that I'm offering right now is an introduction to community art through words and design. So the things that we'll be doing throughout this course is message, like banners that we'll put in town. You know, what do you want to say to your community? What do you want to say to the people that lives in Raglan? And then we're going to cut out letters and put words together, and also choose specific area in town that we feel is a good place for those words to live. And
so when you say community art, what does that mean?
Because
we're like a community station, and there's a community, there's community everything, but what are you specifically meaning?
For me, community art is learning to make something that is not necessarily for profit, or it does not belong in a gallery space. It is for the public to see and to experience. So by bringing the arts in the streets and or community, that's what I mean, like the outside public world, is to simply do something with your heart and to put it out there to offer to the people around you. To bring it out in the streets. And I like the aspect of like a surprise, or you're kind of breaking someone's days because they're passing and they're not expecting that. There's an aspect of surprise in doing that.
This is something that normal people, let's say, will react to and have a response to. And I say, I use the word normal people because there's a lot of fine art which is not accessible. Most people in the general public look at it and go, I don't understand how that's even art.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering if community art, in your definition, is something that people will react to and, yeah.
Yeah, maybe that's a good word, accessible.
Something they can latch onto.
Yeah, exactly. And obviously everyone will receive it differently depending on what they're going through at that time in their lives. But, for instance, people go into an art gallery and they're expecting to be moved, or they're already in relations with some type of art. But if you're Mr. Anybody or Mrs. Anybody and you're in town and then you see that, and yeah. Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah. And of course, you have to be careful. That art world's interesting. You have to be careful with words like accessible, because that can mean lowest common denominator in some people's eyes and things like that. And I know your art because you've been on a few times and talked about it, and it is like the last one we talked about was very accessible but also provocative, I think, and most people would immediately get something from it. Like, they didn't have to intellectualize it and think about it to get into what you're about for that. That was the one, if people are wondering what I'm talking about, I'm thinking of the one where you had women's bodies with words written across them and photos of them. I think it was very accessible because you have, like, they were shot in an attractive way, but there were words, some of the words were quite harsh, so it was very jarring, I think. So I don't mean to go too far down that path. I'm just trying to establish what community art means.
I guess more public art. Would that be a better word, you know?
I'm not saying community art's a wrong word. I think...
Made by the community, for the community. Yeah. But I don't know, you know, it's all resolves around people of Raglan, people for Raglan to people. But it's, I guess, even artists that are exhibiting galleries, it's the same thing. They're in Raglan, and that's for, well, there's also tourists. I mean, there will also be tourists seeing that as well, so it's not necessarily just for people in Raglan, but for whoever passes in front of that and is surprised by it.
Yeah, I think I'm actually, like, really... Like, I hope it doesn't feel like I'm trying to pull it apart.
No, but it's good
I'm intrigued by it because there is such a thing about art becoming inaccessible and intellectualized and academic. And it is supposed to... That's not the purpose of art, to be in an ivory tower.
For some people, that's what they want, that's okay.
Well, for the people in the ivory tower, that's cool.
Yeah.
If they feel special about that, then, you know, I'm happy for them. But I think it has a wider, deeper purpose, you know, for a society. I mean, that's right. It's not supposed to be isolated from society.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it, to kind of break those walls and just it being accessible to others.
So anyway, have we summarized where the kids might be going in this? And we're dealing with 5 to 12-year-olds, so you're not going to explain it in a way that I've just tried to talk about it.
No, but I'll work with each kids individually as well, make sure that everyone understands the purpose. And it's going to be happening at the Scott Hall on Cliff Street.
Oh, yes.
Every Mondays for 10 weeks. And so, yeah, we're going to do banners, and we're also going to write heartwarming notes for neighbors and deliver them in letterboxes. And we're also going to do some drawings on cards or words again for the residents at the rest home residents for Christmas, just in time for Christmas. That's going to be kind of the last activity on the list. I did that, I think it was 2 years ago, because I used to work at the rest home, and I realized that some of them don't have families anymore. And so at Christmas, there's no cards, there's no kind of words of love or nothing like that. And even just some people there just love, even though if they have family, it's still nice to receive a card from someone in the community acknowledging that their existence or... You know?
Yeah, sometimes it's as elemental as that, isn't it? Like,
yeah, because I think some of them can feel a little bit kind of not reclusive, but that they're not out and about in the community. So it's nice to create, I think, a bridge or a door like that for our elderlies. That was really well received. What I've put up a note on the notice board asking, hey, can people write cards and you can just drop them at the reception. And I took a photo of each resident that wanted to participate with their room number on it and wrote like a short description of who they were. and people on the notice board could pick and say, hey, I'm going to write a letter to her, and then I'm going to write a letter to him. And I made sure that everyone was going to receive letters, and at the end, everyone did. And it was great. So I thought that that could be cool to kind of reproduce, but with kids. Yeah. And so the kids would know who they're assigned to and get to know what does this person like, and what can I draw that is like a link to this person. Yeah.
So at the end of the course, how will the kids, how would their artistic thinking have evolved?
Yeah, I think for me, it's about making something and letting it go instead of holding on to a piece of art, but purely making it and letting it go. I think that's the whole idea with all these different activities that I will be offering on that program. And yeah, also just an introduction to, hey, I can put my art in the community, outside in the public. That's a possibility. It doesn't need to be in the museum. It doesn't need to be in a shop. It doesn't need to be on the computer. It can find a place out in the public spaces. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So this course is starting on the 10th of October?
Yes.
How do people get in touch with you guys for this and the other courses? If adults should be checking out the other things as well on there.
Yes. So if you go on our website, which is laborarty.nz, so it's like labor art try.
There we go. That's a way of doing it.
Yeah.
It's laboratory, but it's got art. There's just an extra R in there for the normal spelling of laboratory, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
Laboratory.
Laboratory.
Yeah.
.nz. And then you'll see the list of all the courses that we're offering, and you can read all the descriptions, and you can book online. And if you have any questions, you can also just email us. There's a contact space on the website. And yeah.
And I think it would be cool to talk to the other artists/teachers as well.
Yeah, even like we're just getting posters ready as we speak, and a little booklet that we'll be putting around in town. So, and Stuart is in Australia. He should be coming back next week. So once we get everyone together, then I think, it would be great to have them come here and talk about their courses.
I've got the next 2 weeks are pretty insane because all the political interviews for the local body elections coming up, but which I'm not sure you can vote in.
I can't.
You can't. So you won't be very interested in them, but I'm just going to be super busy. So
that's okay.
Maybe after that.
I mean, that's today. You know, that's an intro. People can go on the website to have some more details and eventually, because it's going to be a thing that will keep on going, then you can have them whenever you have space.
Cool.
Yeah.
Now, other things to talk about with you. We just mentioned the last exhibition you did. And when I interviewed you about that, you were contemplating going up to Auckland and being a bit of an exhibitionist, basically. up there.
Not really. That was
it's for purpose, art. It's for art.
Yeah.
But did that ever happen, or did you?
No. So I got the permit in April to be able to do a live performance in Auckland, but it's been cold, and I guess that was my reason to not do it yet.
Yeah, that's a really good reason, I have to say.
Yeah. So the permit is good for 1 year, so I'm thinking probably this summer I will go and do it in Auckland. And I've done a film about this exhibition, a short film, which I'm I will be putting on to the
Regular Film Festival,
the
RAFA. Cool. Okay. Because I was going to ask, that's due soon.
Yeah. So that was my first conceptual film, a 15 minutes film, which I'm really proud of. So it's cool how things evolve. You know, it started with this exhibition, and I was like, I really want to do a film to kind of explain the concept, but in images. So I did that, and then the live performance would be another kind of aspect to that project, to the same root project. So it's nice to see things flower in all different mediums.
And you're getting into the documentary making quite seriously, by the look of things.
Well, I don't know what quite seriously means. When I'm involved with a project, I try and take everything seriously, I guess, and push it further always. But Are you you're talking about this new documentary that I'm wanting to do?
I'm trying to segue into your to the next thing to talk about.
Yeah. So I am working on, or will just start working on, a new documentary about migrants in New Zealand. Because I'm an immigrant here, and the process of getting your residency can be tricky mentally and physically. Just not knowing is really difficult, and the conditions, like social and also working conditions, of trying to be able to stay in this country can be quite challenging, and I found myself quite frustrated. And I would have liked more support from the government or New Zealand immigration at times that were kind of tough. So this is, the documentary is to, for other migrants to share their story, their frustrations, the gaps that they see in the system where there's room to for growth. Because I know a lot of, I mean, Raglan is a melting pot of immigrants, right? So, yeah. And I've heard quite a lot of different stories that were, not always, easy to hear. So this is an opportunity for people to share this story. It can be anonymous if people don't want their names in it or their face, or it can just be, you know, the saying your story out loud.
So you're looking for people to interview at the moment?
Yes, I'm looking for people to interview, for people who are wanting to share their stories.
Okay, and I've actually heard it's quite invasive. My sister and brother-in-law, who met in the UK, they had to prove that they were a real couple before he was granted approval to come here. And that involved, they had to show that they were living together, that they were sharing bank accounts, that, you know.
Yep.
Like, it gets, that's pretty invasive.
Yeah.
And they weren't to start with, they weren't living together. That was not kind of on their agenda.
Yeah.
Kind of their life philosophy, but they were forced to change that, I guess, to meet New Zealand immigration rules.
Mm. Yeah, that's because I did a few different kind of, I was on a few different visas and on partner visas as well. And like you say, it's not all couples that are wanting to live together. Why is that? That has to be a normality to be able to prove a partnership. Why do you need to have a bank account to be, like a linked bank account to be in partnership? Why is that a requirement? Because not everybody are in charge of their financial situation the same way. You know, same thing with bills. Both names needs to be on the bills, but maybe they work in other ways to organize their finances. Just
I'm not sure that for me and my wife have been married for 20 odd years. I'm not even sure whose names are on the bills.
Yeah, right.
Right, we don't even. Yeah.
So. To get your paper, you kind of have to get on to that. And a lot of us and other people that had to do partnerships visas had to go in Hamilton and open a bank account just for the sake of showing that they had a bank account together. And they want to see a proof of your partner sending money to your own personal account and that kind of stuff. So it gets a little bit sometimes bizarre, I find. I'd rather if someone could just come with their own partnership stories truthfully, without having all those kind of artificial boxes to tick.
Bureaucratic system, like box ticking, though, don't they?
Yeah, exactly. And I just found it hard for me because I know it can take. It takes time to get your application through, right? And if you're stuck on a tourist visa and you're waiting for your work visa through partnership, like I was in that situation for about 8 months, and that means that during 8 months I can't work. And if something like medical happens to me, which it did, I couldn't have the help of like a nurse. With, you know, the local clinic here, I would have to go like with private medical help,
yeah.
Which if you haven't worked for 8 months, how do you afford that? And then if that can be sorted, then your mental health is going down and you don't have access to like a counselor, which you can have here at the Raglan Clinic.
A counselor,
like someone who helps you with mental health, and then they refer you to a therapist. And you can't afford a therapist, so it's a little bit of a you can see how it can go pretty fast downhill in the waiting line. You're like in this imaginary room waiting, not knowing if the life as you know it will change tomorrow morning or not. So it's quite stressful. I think it would be nice to have someone to support you and check in with you every month. I think that would be a nice addition to their system, to New Zealand immigration system. And yeah, just to check in as well. Hey, we've done 23% of your application by now. If they could do that every month, that would be awesome. Just to know what's going on.
So you're not just left hanging.
You're left in the void. Yeah, and when you call New Zealand immigration, you hear all those different, like if you ask questions and you call three times to ask the same question, you'll have three different responses.
Yes.
And it's just, it's very difficult. So those were some of my frustrations.
Yeah, okay. So you're going to make a documentary about that. And people, how can people get in touch with you?
Oh, yes, that's a good point. I guess Facebook or email address. My email address is elizabethdennis10@gmail.com.
That's a hard one. Elizabeth is spelt with an S.
Oh, yeah.
And Dennis is with one N.
Yes. So elizabethdennis10@gmail.com.
Although if people Google you in Raglan and art, they'll probably come across you.
Yeah. You can do that. Or Facebook. Yeah, same thing, Elizabeth Dennis.
Okay, and so the film that you're planning to make, this is your current project. You don't have anything else up here? You probably have lots of ideas.
Yeah.
Percolating.
Yeah.
This is the main focus at the moment?
I don't know if we have time for that. There's a lot of things on the go.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's cool. That's cool to hear.